I'm going to be reading first this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm actually going to start with verse 31 because I think that's extremely important for the times we face. And then I'll go on to chapter 32. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you, because you belong to Christ. Next, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love your enemies, do good, and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Greg, for our scripture reading for this morning. And as we've heard the reading of His Word, we now seek its meaning for our life today. Let us ask for God's Spirit upon us. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts in this place and wherever we are, be acceptable, pleasing to You, God. And may You be glorified through Your Word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're continuing with a series of sermons on the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And I remind you that last week we talked about a fruit of the Spirit that is rather hard to demonstrate on a daily basis, and it's one that is in short supply. That is the fruit of patience. Patience. I hope you've all been working on that this week. I know we all need to. And today we're going to be talking about a quality of the Spirit that is even rarer still, I believe. It is the fruit of kindness. Kindness. It just seems to be a forgotten virtue in our culture today. And yet, as I said at the beginning of this series, that none of these qualities of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit is really to be optional when it comes to Christians. I mean, if any of these qualities, though, is treated as though it is optional, it would be this quality known as kindness. For it has become a norm in our society today, it seems, to say that if I disagree with you, or if you do something I don't like, or you do something I think is wrong, then that makes you a bad person. And I don't have to be nice to bad people, right? And we see this on display everywhere in our world today, especially in social media and online communities. We see it in discussions about politics. We see it in discussions about social issues, but it's not limited just to those things. Try having a sports-related discussion with somebody today. Or better yet, a health-related discussion. I mean, you know, just try to talk to somebody about a disagreement over wearing face masks and see how that discussion goes. Even Bible-related discussions can really bring out the worst in people today. You say the wrong thing, and the conversation quickly goes south. And the comments begin to get very personal. And if this kind of thing was only happening in the online community, then the solution would be easy. Just don't go online. Stay off. Don't comment or post anything. But it's happening everywhere today. It's happening in our neighborhoods, between neighbors. It's happening in the workplace. It's happening between friends and family. It's happening in the church. It's happening at home. We often fail miserably at demonstrating this quality of the fruit of the Spirit known as kindness, perhaps more than any other of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Yet, if you are seeking to live a life that is in the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, then you are willing to take this fruit, this quality of kindness, seriously. You're to try to demonstrate it throughout your life, because we realize that we live today only because of the grace and because of the kindness of God. As it says in 1 John, we love. We are kind because God first loved and was kind to us. And I can assure you that the kindness of God to you and to me far outweighs any feeble attempt that we will be ever asked to be kind to others. So today we're going to be looking first of all at what the Bible teaches us about kindness. What is kindness really according to the Scriptures? And then we're going to consider two questions that I think can help us to cultivate this fruit of the Spirit and the quality of kindness on a more regular basis. Let's first of all make sure what the Bible is talking about when it asks us to demonstrate this fruit of kindness. Author Christopher Wright says that the essence of kindness is being thoughtful for others more than for myself in any particular situation. I think that's a good definition of kindness. I think also kindness can be summarized in that passage that we have come to know as the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But our understanding of kindness is really grounded and rooted in the character of God. I mean, we know what kindness is because we have seen it demonstrated through the goodness of God toward us. There's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that I think really summarizes this word of kindness and this quality, and it's the word hesed. Hesed. Now, that word can sometimes be translated as love. Other times it's translated as faithful love or steadfast love. The original meaning is probably a little closer to mercy or compassion. But I think the best translation for hesed is often found in the word loving kindness. As in, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. So when we're talking about kindness, we're really talking about a quality that represents the character of God. It's about God's love and kindness, God's mercy and tenderness and compassion toward us. This is what David meant when he wrote that passage we all know very well. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word there, mercy, is literally the word hesed, the Hebrew word hesed, which is translated in other places as loving kindness. And the Bible points out that God treats us with this loving, this tender, compassionate, merciful, faithful kindness, even when we don't deserve it. In our text this morning from Luke's Gospel, we have this passage that we all know pretty well, but there's a part of this verse that we often miss. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Now, that's the part of the verse we all know, we all remember. But then he goes on to say, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So here, Jesus is not merely saying that God is kind to those bad, wicked people out there. He's saying that we all fall into this category. For ungrateful and wicked are labels that we have often worn. And yet, God still shows his loving kindness to us in spite of that. As the Apostle Paul said, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, this is why we have this sacrament of Holy Communion, to remind us that we were sinners separated from God. Our fate was the same as the worst of the worst. Yet, God showed his kindness to us, though we did nothing to deserve it. God so loved this world that he sent his only Son, who died on a cross, that through him we might be forgiven and find salvation. And even the fact that we have accepted this grace of God, this kindness of God through Jesus Christ, that does not make us better than anybody else. Because as Paul says in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. God is kind, even to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And that includes you, and it includes me. And by no means am I discounting or diminishing the judgment of God by this, or the fact that we must all own up to the consequences of our own actions, or that the choices we make in this life will ultimately determine our eternal destiny. God's word's clear about those things, but it is also clear that God is kind to sinners. Thanks be to God for that. And while there are those who would portray the image today of an angry God or a God who hates us, nothing could be farther from the truth. That's not the God we see revealed in Scripture. It's not the God we see demonstrated through His Son, Jesus Christ. God loves you, but God also loves that person that you don't like. God also loves that person that you disagree with, who even you oppose. God treats us all with the same measure of His loving kindness. So our understanding of kindness, it is rooted in the character of God. And when you're living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled life, you strive to show the same kind of kindness that God has shown you to those around you. That's the Christian life. But even though the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit helps us to become more kind in our living and to bear this fruit of kindness, we also have to do our part to cultivate this fruit within our lives. And so there are two questions that I think can help us to do this. If you would ask yourself these two questions, it will help you to cultivate this quality of kindness. The first question is, how would Jesus treat this person in this situation? As you see on the screen, you remember those WWJD bracelets that you all used to wear, and then the initials stood for "What Would Jesus Do?" Well, the idea is that before you act, you would ask yourself the question, how would Jesus respond if He was in the same situation or set of circumstances? And I don't know about you, but I often found that question rather difficult to answer. Because when I read the Gospels, I often find that Jesus was quite unpredictable, and I'm not sure what Jesus would do here or there. So I found it easier to answer the question, what would Jesus not do? Because I know that Jesus would not be hateful toward other people. I know that Jesus would not be condescending or ridicule other people. I know that Jesus would not celebrate anyone else's tragedy or misfortune. I know that even when He spoke the cold, hard truth to people, He did so in a spirit of love, in a spirit of mercy, compassion, and kindness. Remember that passage in John chapter 8, when everyone else thought they had the grounds for stoning this adulterous woman that was brought before Jesus, Jesus responded by saying, "I do not condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin." When dealing with other people that we disagree with, or that we find difficult to deal with, the people that we have issues with, we should strive to ask that question of ourselves. What would Jesus do? How would He respond if He were in this situation? I once heard a preacher tell the story of going to lunch with one of these celebrity preachers you see on television, and he had admired this guy for many years, but he was really taken back by how rude this celebrity preacher was to the waitress that was waiting on them. He even went so far as to make a snide comment about her appearance and her presence, like she was wearing too much makeup or something. Can you imagine Jesus ridiculing a waitress or a waiter because they didn't fill up his glass of iced tea fast enough? Can you imagine Jesus ridiculing or berating an employee because they lost the sale or they missed a deadline? Can you imagine Jesus trading insult for insult with those He disagreed with? Listen, if you know Jesus, you know that He would do none of those things. If you have read the Gospel, you would know that you can imagine no such thing happening. How would Jesus respond if He were in this situation? When you take the time to ask yourself that question, I can assure you that the answer will always lead you in the direction of being more hesed, more loving, responding with kindness toward others. Another question I think we can ask of ourselves to help cultivate this fruit of kindness in our lives is, how would I treat this person if he or she were Jesus? Now, You know, it would be difficult, perhaps, to imagine Jesus being like that convicted fellow. Or like those lazy people who refuse to work, just spend their whole lives taking handouts from everybody. Or those kind of people who don't properly take care of their family, feed and clothe their family well. It can be difficult to imagine Jesus as being poor, or sick, or unkempt, or rude. Because Jesus is not like any of those people, right? I mean, Jesus is perfect in every way. He is the ultimate example of integrity. And yet, Jesus says that when we look at those whom society and even you might deem to be social rejects, Jesus says that we are to respond to them with the same attitude that we would respond to Him. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." So, it may be difficult to imagine Jesus as being that annoying neighbor you have to deal with, or that rude customer you have to deal with, or that person on the other side of the political aisle with whom you disagree, or that boss who expects too much of you, or that employee who never does enough. It's difficult to imagine Jesus being like any person that we don't think deserves kindness, according to our perspective, because Jesus is nothing like those people. And yet, Jesus says we are to treat them in the same way that we would treat Him. There's an old story about a woman in England who sat down to eat supper, and it was a dark and stormy night, and as she sat down to eat her supper, she heard a knock at the door. And so she goes to the door, and she's surprised there's an elderly woman there in a long overcoat with a hat on, and she asked a favor. She said, "It's starting to rain, and could I please borrow an umbrella? I promise I'll bring it back." And the lady says, "Well, sure, I've got..." She had two umbrellas. She had an old, a raggedy umbrella with had a lot of some leaks in it. And then she had this almost brand new umbrella that she had hardly ever used. And after weighing her options, she decided that she would give this woman her old raggedy umbrella because she figured she's never going to get it back anyway. And so she gave the woman the old raggedy umbrella, and the woman thanked her and went on her way. A few days later, the palace royal guard showed up at her house. I mean, unfortunately, this woman who showed up at her house knocking at the door that night happened to be the Queen of England, and she didn't recognize it. Of course, she's all embarrassed, and she tells the palace guard, "If I'd have just known that it was the Queen, I would have given her my good umbrella." Now, of course, that story didn't really happen, but it makes a good point, because many of us have had the occasion to say the same thing. "If I'd just known that that person in need was Jesus, I would have not brushed them off so easily. I would have done everything I could do to help them. If I'd known that waitress was Jesus, I wouldn't have been so rude. If I would have known that was Jesus standing in the rain, I would have given him my good umbrella." To which Jesus responds by saying, "Well, now you know." In order to demonstrate this fruit of kindness in our life more, we should take the time to ask that question: if this person was Jesus, how would I respond to him or her? How would I treat them? I can assure you that the answer to that question will lead you in a direction of being more kind in your treatment of others. So this morning I want to conclude by giving you a challenge to work on this week. I want to give you very quickly five areas that I think you can practice this quality, this fruit known as kindness in your life. And you could come up with more probably, but I think if we just work on these five areas, it would really help us to make a difference in the world we live in and in our own lives. So I'm going to encourage you to write these down. The first area that we can practice kindness in is in the conversations we have with our friends and with our family. Listen, you don't have to be mean just because you're related. I mean, you really don't. It's okay to be kind to each other in your family, amongst your friends. And remember that our ability to share kindness with others in the world often begins in the home. It's learned there. The second place we can practice kindness is online, with every post that we make. Now, really, you have to think about it. When you make a post online, it has the potential of being seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So try to be kind. Or just don't post anything at all if you can't. A third area that we can try to practice living kindness is in traffic. Now, I know that's a hard place to practice kindness. I know of people who are, they become hostile the minute they get behind the wheel. But it doesn't have to be that way. When people aren't driving as perfect as you, just try to show a little mercy, try to show a little kindness. And fourth area that we can practice kindness in is when it comes to doing business. When it's dealing with a customer, when it's dealing with a customer service representative, even if they're not doing things right, again, you can practice showing kindness. And finally, the area that we can practice kindness more is in when we encounter those who are in need. Listen, you can't solve all the world's problems. And there will be times people ask things of you who come to you in need, and you have to say no because you don't have the resources to be able to say yes. But whether your answer is yes or whether it's no, you can still do so with kindness, with mercy, not judgment, kindness, not condescension. I think these are five areas that if we really worked at, it would help us to cultivate this fruit of kindness more in our daily living. Because we are living in a world today where kindness is in such short supply. It truly is a forgotten virtue in our society today. People's first response is not often kindness, but you can make it your first response. And when you do, you'll find that the world around you becomes a much kinder place. Being kind to others, it is evidence of God's Holy Spirit at work in your life. And it is a quality, a virtue that we all really need more of today. I think Paul sums all this up when he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you."